Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this 25th day of September 2019. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are live streaming on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. Oh, let's see here. Had this all set up and now it doesn't want to work. All right, so we're going to get into part two of The Only True God, chapter 11 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. I'm doing something a little bit different with the YouTube videos. Oh, yeah, there it goes. Okay, got it to work. All right, so I'm going to do this second part here, and I'm going to try to, I know I always say I'm going to try to figure something out, but I'm going to try to start doing the shows earlier in the day so that my daughters can take care of the baby before I take them to school while I'm doing the radio show. So we'll see how it works. I was always trying to carve out a time when I can actually do these podcast, radio show, video things that I do. So anyway, let's just get right into it. So I did part one the other day, basically 36 hours ago. So we're just going to do part two now, and then when I'm done with the reading, I will take calls, and I'll let you know what the phone number is for you to call in. So let's just get right into it. The horn made war with the saints and overcame them until the Ancient of Days came. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High from the Ancient of Days. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 159. That's actually almost word for word what it says in Daniel chapter 7. So in the Ancient of Days, we know. So it gives a description of the one that sits upon the throne with concourses of angels in front of the throne. And then if you go to from Daniel chapter 7, where it's talking about that, to Daniel chapter 12, we know that the Ancient of Days is Michael the Archangel because of Daniel chapter 12, who is Adam. So it's talking about, you know, Adam, Michael the Archangel. So I saw Adam in the valley of Adam-Anan-Diamon. He called together his children and blessed them with a patriarchal blessing on page 159. The Lord appeared in their midst, and he, speaking of Adam, blessed them all and foretold what should befall them to the latest generation. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 158. The priesthood was first given to Adam. He obtained the first presidency and held the keys of it from generation to generation. He obtained it in the creation, before the world was formed, as in Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, and 28. He had dominion given him over every living creature. He is Michael the Archangel, spoken of in the Scriptures. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 157. And Joseph Smith knew that because he was a prophet and received revelation. But it's all, you know, like I just said, it's spoken of in Daniel chapter 7, and we find out the name of the one who sits on the throne. Because in Daniel chapter 12, it actually states, and he stood up from the throne, Michael the Archangel, or Michael. You know, and the same description as given in Daniel chapter 7 is given in Revelations as well for the Father who sits upon the throne. We know because of the endowment that Jehovah our Elohim was sent by the council of the Elohim to create the earth, and he was told to take Michael with him, and Michael went with him, and when they got to where the earth was created, or to be created, Yehovah told Michael, go and create the earth, and Michael said, it will be done. And he is the one that actually did the creation. Now, in Hebraic understanding, to create does not mean to make out of thin air. In fact, the word in Hebrew, I can't remember what the exact pronunciation is, but it actually means to organize. So when Yeshua or Jesus said he was organizing, he's the one who created the earth, he organized the spirits in spirit in the pre-existence before the world was. I've done radio shows on this, so you want to go back in the archives. You can find that at iTunes podcasts, The Kingdom of God or Nothing, or fundamentallymormon.com or blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon, where I've gone over The Mysteries of Creation, which is a book written by Ogden Kraut, where he compiles a bunch of stuff that goes over all of this stuff in greater detail. But it explains how Michael is a creator, how Jehovah was a creator, how Yeshua is a creator, talks a lot about there being many only begotten sons, just a whole bunch of different really, really interesting things. But if you're interested in that sort of stuff, you can even go to OgdenKraut.com and then scroll down to Mysteries of Creation and read that book for yourself, which I highly recommend. Continuing with the reading. The priesthood is an everlasting principle and existed from God, with God from eternity, and will to eternity without beginning of days or end of years. The keys have to be brought from heaven whenever the gospel is sent. When they are revealed from heaven, it is by Adam's authority. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 157. He received Michael the Archangel, who became Adam to honor God the Eternal Father, who is Adam, Amen. He received those keys because he, under the direction of Yehovah, became the creator of this world, who Joseph Smith taught God the Father is the creator. It's the Adam God doctrine. It's part of what Joseph Smith restored to the world when he restored the gospel because he was a prophet. Anyway, continuing on with more of what Joseph Smith taught, Adam was made to open the way of the world and for dressing the garden. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 12. Daniel, in his seventh chapter, speaks of the Ancient of Days. He means the oldest man, our father Adam, Michael. He will call his children together and hold a council with them to prepare them for the coming of the Son of Man. He, Michael Adam, is the father of the human family and presides over all spirits, over the spirits of all men, and all that have had the keys must stand before him in this grand council. And speaking of Adam and Andiamon, this may take place before some of us leave this stage of action. The Son of Man stands before him, that's speaking of Yeshua, and there is given him glory and dominion. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 157. It's the reason why the Son of Man, Yeshua, who we call Jesus, stands before Michael to receive his keys is because Michael, Adam, has all the authority, being the father of this world, the father of our spirits through the law of adoption, and the father of our flesh, because he was the first man, and we all descend from him. Adam delivers up his stewardship to Christ, our Messiah, that which was delivered to him as holding the keys of the universe, that's because he is an Elohim, but retains his standing as head of the human family. Doctrinal History of the Church, Volume 3, page 386. Commencing with Adam, who was the first man, who is spoken of in Daniel as being the Ancient of Days, or in other words, the first and oldest of all, the great grand progenitor of whom it is said in another place, he is Michael, that's Daniel chapter 12, and also in the Doctrine and Covenants, because he was the first and father of all, not only by progeny, but the first to hold the spiritual blessings, to whom was made known the plan of ordinances for the salvation of his posterity unto the end, and to whom Christ, our Messiah, was first revealed, and through whom Christ has been revealed from heaven, and will continue to be revealed from henceforth. Adam Michael holds the keys of the dispensation of the fullness of times, or in other words, the dispensation of him from the beginning to Christ, and from Christ to the end of the dispensation that are to be revealed. Dispensations that are to be revealed. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 167 and 168. That's because Adam Michael holds the keys to all dispensations. This is his earth, and we are literally his children, spiritually through the law of adoption, and physically because we're physically his children. He gives those keys over to Yeshua, and this earth becomes his because this is another thing a lot of people don't understand. Yeshua, when he paid for us on the cross and in the Garden of Gethsemane, all they who take upon them his name become his children through the law of adoption. This is how he is the Father and the Son, which is a huge misunderstanding by so many. They think that the Book of Mormon talks about the Trinity. It does not. Not even a little bit. Yeshua is the Father and the Son through the law of adoption. But he has a Father as well. And I don't like to use this example too much, but in Revelations chapter 1, it says, He, being Jesus Christ, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Continuing with the reading, he set the ordinances to be the same forever and ever, and set Adam to watch over them, to reveal them from heaven to man, or to send angels to reveal them. Are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews, in the New Testament, or the Brahada Shah, chapter 1, verse 14. These angels are under the direction of Michael or Adam. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 168. The reason why Michael became Adam was because anyone who becomes the father of a world takes upon them Adam to honor Adam Amen, who is God the Eternal Father, who was the first, and none stand beside him. Jehovah, Michael, Yeshua, they all stand under his authority because he is God, the eternal Father. And Adam took upon him, Michael took upon himself Adam's name to honor him. Same thing with Michael's wife, Asherah. Asherah took upon her the name of Hava, or in other words, Eve, because God, the Eternal Mother, is called Hava, or Eve. Continuing on, this then is the nature of the priesthood. Every man holding the presidency of his dispensation, and one man holding the presidency of them all, even Adam. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 169. See, if the Mormon Church had retained their understanding and belief of the Adam God doctrine, this would all make a whole lot more sense to them, but they don't understand it. So, and I understand it through revelation and through study, and I know many others who do. Brigham Young definitely understood it. Continuing on, what do the Bible and the biblical scholars say about the personage of Michael? I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. This parallels what is spoken of in Revelations for the description of the throne of the Father himself. This is the Adam God doctrine. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel chapter 7, 9, 10, 13, and 14. The Ancient of Days is now taking his seat in judgment, and aspects of his wrath are beginning to manifest themselves on the earth. Soon his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, will return in the clouds of heaven, and in righteousness he will judge and make war against all evil. Destiny Magazine, December 1953, volume 24, number 12. The judgment is, so like I've said this before many times, but in order for Yeshua to return, Adam Anandayaman has to take place, where Michael gathers all the keys up from every dispensation to every prophet who holds the keys, and then he gives them to Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, his son. In order for Adam Anandayaman to happen, for this whole thing to happen, according to Genesis chapter 9, there has to be a people who will live all that God has commanded. Law of consecration, plural celestial marriage, the law of adoption, united orders, the whole thing. And any man or set of men who tell you that those things are not important for our time is a liar and a deceiver, and a false prophet if he claims to be one. Any man who contradicts the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, according to Joseph Smith, is an imposter. People like Denver Snuffer, who I was just listening to his recent conference, is telling the people that the law of consecration is not something that we need to worry about. Is this because he has money and he does not want to consecrate his money, time, talent, all of it to God? I don't know, but it is important. All of it is important. It's all part of Zion's redemption. And if we are not willing to live the higher laws, we are not going to receive the higher blessings. The judgment is the Ancient of Days himself. The judge is the Ancient of Days himself, God the Father. The glory of whose presence is here described. He is called the Ancient of Days because he is God from everlasting to everlasting. Among men we reckon that with the ancient is wisdom, and the days shall speak. Shall not all flesh then be silent before him who is the Ancient of Days? The glory of the judge is here set forth by his garment, which was white as snow, denoting his splendor and the purity in all administrations of his justice, and the hair of his head clean and white as the pure wool, as the white hoary head he may appear venerable. Thousands, thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. It is his glory that he has such attendance, but much more his glory that he neither needs them nor can be benefited by them. See how numerous the heavenly hosts are. There are thousands of melech, or angels, and how are they? They stand before God, ready to go on his errand and make the first intimation of his will and pleasure. Matthew Henry's Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1072. What other name did Adam have, and what did that name imply? Hold on. Let's see if I can fix this real quick. Okay. We're on page 162. For those of you following along, you can find the text to this at fundamentallymormon.com. Also, you can find this book to read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books on the main page and then scroll down to the Church and the Gospel. We're on page 162. Brethren, your long and tenuous journey is now ended. You are now on the public square of Adam and Andiamen. This is the place where Adam blessed his posterity when they rose up and called him Michael, the prince, the archangel, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, predicted that he should be, or what should befall his posterity to the latest generation. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 54. See also Doctrinal History of the Church, volume 3, page 148. Since I came down, I have been informed from a proper source that the angel Michael is no less than our father Adam, and Gabriel is Noah. I just dropped this because I suppose that you would be pleased to know. Oliver Cowdery to John Whitmer, in a letter to John Whitmer, the 1st of January, 1834, Huntington Journal, page 10. Their belief reminds me that Brother Joseph B. Nobles once told a Methodist priest, after hearing him describe his God, that the God they worshipped was the Mormon devil, a being without body, whereas our God has a body, parts, and passions. The devil was cursed and sent down from heaven. He has no body of his own. Therefore, he is consistently endeavoring to obtain possession of the tabernacles belonging to others, or the bodies belonging to others. Some have grumbled because I believe our God to be so near to us as Father Adam. There are many who know that doctrine to be true. Where was Michael in the creation of this earth? Did he have a mission to the earth? He did. Where was he? In the grand council, and speaking of the council of the Elohim, or the mighty ones, and performed the mission assigned to him there. Now, if it should happen that we have to pay tribute to our father Adam, what a humiliating circumstance it would be. Just wait till you pass Joseph Smith, and after Joseph Smith let you pass him, you will find Peter, and after you pass the apostles and the many prophets, you will find Abraham, and he will say, I have the keys, and except you do thus, and so you cannot pass. And after a while, you will come to Jesus, and you will find at length, and you will finally at length meet Father Adam. How strange it will appear in your present, to your present notions. If we can pass Joseph and have him say, here you have been faithful, good boys, I hold the keys of this dispensation and I will let you pass, then we shall be very glad to see the white locks of Father Adam. But those are ideas which do not concern us at present, although it is written in the Bible that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, pages 331, written in, or produced, whatever. He gave that speech in 1857. 9. Will righteous men and women ever become Adams and Eves to an earth? Before me I see a house full of Eves. What a crowd of reflections the word Eve is calculated to bring up. Eve was the name or title conferred upon our first mother because she was actually to be the mother of all human beings who should live upon this earth. I am looking upon a congregation designed to be just such beings. Brigham Young, Millennial Star, Volume 31, page 267. Eve in Hebrew is Hava. Our mother was a resurrected being when she came to this planet with Michael. Her name is Ashura. She took upon the title of Hava or Eve when she became the mother of all living, because she was an exalted being before she came here. Same as our father, Michael. And they never died. I could go on details. I got 30 minutes to finish this and then take phone calls. So, because I have to take my kids to school today. So I'll just get through it. Many of the sisters grieve because they are not blessed with offspring. You will see the time when you will have millions of children around you, and if you are faithful to your covenants, you will become mothers of nations. You will become Eves to earths like this. And when you have assisted in peopling one earth, there are millions of earths still in the course of creation. And when they have endured 1,000,000,000 times longer than this earth, it is only, as it were, the beginning of your creation. Be faithful, and if you are not blessed with children in this time, you will hereafter. But I would not dare tell you all I know about these matters. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 8, page 208. After men have got their exaltations and their crowns, have become gods, or Elohim, even the sons of God, gods, B'nai Elohim, are made King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which means you have to become a Redeemer. It's all part of multiple mortal probations, which is no longer taught in the church. They don't even know what it even means, but it's all part of what was restored to the prophet Joseph Smith. They have the power then of propagating their species in spirit, and that is the first operation with regard to organizing a world. Power is then given to them to organize the elements, and then to commence the organization of tabernacles. How can they do it? Have they to go to that earth? Yes, and Adam will have to go there, and he cannot go without Eve. He must have Eve to commence the work of generation. And they will go into the garden and continue to eat and drink of the fruits of the corporeal world until this grosser matter is diffused sufficiently through their celestial bodies, their celestial resurrected bodies, to enable them, according to the established laws, to produce mortal tabernacles for their spirit children. This is a key for you. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 275. Presentation of the Doctrine. The Apostle Parley P. Pratt arose in one of the high councils of the Church on January 1st, 1844, and read a statement that later was published under the title Angel of the Prairies. This was read in the presence of the prophet Joseph Smith and apparently approved of by him. Quote, on entering this room, a vast and extensive hall was open before me, the walls of which were white and ornamented with various figures, which I did not understand. In the midst of all this hall was a vast throne, and white as ivory, and ascended by 70 steps on either side of the throne. And the steps leading to it were, there were seats rising one above another. On this throne was seated an aged, venerable-looking man. His hair was white with age, and his countenance beamed with the intelligence and affections indescribable, as if he were the father of kingdoms, and the people over which he reigned. He was clad in robes of dazzling whiteness, while a glorious crown rested upon his brow. A pillar of light above his head seemed to diffuse over the whole scene a brilliance of glory and grandeur indescribable. There was something in his countenance which seemed to indicate that he had passed long years of struggle and exertion in the achievement of some mighty revolution, and been a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But like the evening sun, after a day of clouds and tempest, he seemed to smile with the dignity of repose. In connection with this venerable personage sat two others scarcely less venerable, and clad and crowned in the same manner. On the next seat below were 12 personages. I've never read this before, but in 2013, when God told me to kneel before him and ask him who I am, I saw this. He showed this to me. I've never seen this before. I've never read this before, but I'm going to explain some things to you real quick. Well, I'm going to finish this quote, but on the next scene below were 12 personages, much of the same appearance and clad with the same manner, with crowns upon his head, while the descending seats were filled with some thousands of noble and dignified personages, all enrobed in white and crowned with authority, power, and majesty as kings, and presiding among the Bnei Elohim, or the sons of God. You now behold the angel of the prairies, the grand presiding council, organized in wisdom and holding the keys of power to bear rule over the earth in righteousness. And of the increase and glory of their kingdom there shall be no end. And venerable councils which you beheld enthroned in majesty and clad in robes of white, with crowns upon their heads, is the order of the Ancient of Days, before whose august presence throne have been cast down and tyrants have ceased to rule. The Angel of the Prairies, Parley P. Pratt, volume, our pages 13 and 14 and 24. Okay, I got to tell you this. We're on page 165. And 166, I think. On this throne was seated an aged, venerable-looking man. His hair was white with age, and his countenance beamed with intelligence and affection indescribable, as if he were the father of kingdoms. That is Michael, the archangel who became the Ancient of Days, who is God the Creator, under the direction of Jehovah our Elohim. He was clad with robes of dazzling whiteness, while a glorious crown rested upon his brow, and a pillar of light above his head seemed to diffuse over the whole scene a brilliance of glory and grandeur indescribable. There was something in his countenance which seemed to indicate that he had passed long years of struggle and exertion in the achievement of some mighty revolution, and been a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because our father Adam, before he became God the Father, the creator of this earth, in a past mortal probation, was a redeemer like Yeshua is for us. When Yeshua, Jesus, paid for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane and sealed that upon the cross, we become his children, and Yeshua will become our father in the world to come. This world is a pre-existence for another world. But like the evening sun after a day of cloud, he seemed to smile with the dignity of repose. In connection with this venerable personage sat two others scarcely less venerable, and clad and crowned in the same manner. On the next seat below were 12 personages with much the same appearance. Okay, I gotta stop there. The two others who sat scarcely less venerable are God the Redeemer and God the Witness. The 12 personages under Messiah ben Yosef and Messiah ben Judah, God the Redeemer and God the Witness, are 12 who are mighty and strong before this whole earth. The Father, the Son, the Witness, and these 12 constitute the first presidency and apostles of this earth. They are Adam, God the Father, Yeshua, the Redeemer, myself, the Witness. With Adam in his dispensation, Enoch, Noah, Elijah, and Moses were mighty and strong. During the dispensation of the Son or the Redeemer, Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, John the Revelator, Peter and James, or Yaakov, they are mighty and strong before the Lord of the whole earth. In this dispensation, Joseph Smith and myself, and there's three others, are mighty and strong before the Lord of the whole earth. These 15 constitute the first presidency and the apostles, basically, of this earth. All other prophets were mighty, were noble and great ones, but those who I have mentioned to you are mighty and strong. That's why everybody goes nuts on the whole section 85 where it says, I will send one mighty and strong, and everybody's like, well, I will send the one mighty and strong, as if there's only one. There's more than one. The Father, the Son, and the Witness are mighty and strong. Those prophets that I named to you are also mighty and strong. The only reason I know that is because in 2013 I was taken up. The Father said, kneel before me and ask me who you are. And I was shown this. I was shown all of this. Hillel, who became Satan, who you might know as Lucifer. was chosen to be God the witness for this earth. He rebelled and he fell and he was cast out of his throne. And our Father and our Redeemer went among we who are mighty and strong and chose me to take his place as the witness. That's why I have seen and embraced the Father and the Son in the flesh, where no other prophet except for Yeshua had that experience. So that I could testify to you that they live. And that I have seen them and embraced them as resurrected beings. Both of them. The Father, our Father, who you know as Michael, and his Son, Yeshua, who you know as Jesus Christ. Okay. Brigham Young made the first public announcement of the Adam God doctrine in 1852. Now, this is the pronouncement. This happened in 1852 at a conference. Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, saints and sinner. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body, because he is a resurrected being, and brought Eve, or Ashura, one of his wives with him. He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael the Archangel, the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. Every man upon the earth, professing Christians or non-professing, must hear it, and will know it sooner or later. I could tell you much more about this, but were I to tell you the whole truth, blasphemy would be nothing to it in the estimation of the superstitious and overrighteous of mankind. However, I have told you the truth as far as I have gone. I have given you a few leading items upon this subject, but a great deal more remains to be told. Page 166. Treasure up these things in your hearts, and the Bible you have read, in the Bible you have read the things I have told you tonight, but you have not known what you did read. I have told you no more than you are conversant with. But what do the people in Christendom know with the Bible in their hands? With the Bible in their hands, known about this subject? Comparatively nothing. Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 50 and 51. In 1856, and if you want to read a good book on this that you can read for free online, Ogden Kraut wrote a book called Michael Adam. I don't agree with all of his conclusions, but it's some really good stuff. So hold on here. In 1856, Brigham Young explained the importance of understanding correctly the identity and character of God. Tell me that you do not know anything about God. I will tell you one thing. It would better become you to lay your hands upon your mouths and them in the dust and cry, unclean, unclean, whether you receive these things or not. I tell you them in simplicity. I lay them before you like a child because they are perfectly simple. If you see and understand these things, it will be by the Spirit of God. You will receive them by no other spirit. By the same token, no one can reject them with the Spirit of the Lord, no matter whether they are told to you like the thunderings of the Almighty or in simple conversation. If you will enjoy the Spirit of the Lord, I will tell you whether it will tell you whether they are right or not. I am acquainted with my Father. I am as confident that I understand in part, see in part, and know, and am acquainted with him in part, as I am that I was acquainted with my earthly father who died in Quincy, Illinois, after we were driven from Missouri. I know my heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, and this is Life Eternal. Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, page 218. Brigham Young continued preaching the doctrine that Adam, Michael, is our God right up until the time of his death, which was in 1877, as shown in the following four quotations. Quote, God has created one blood of all the nations and kingdoms of men that dwell on all the face of the earth, black, white, copper-colored, or whatever their color, customs, or religion. They have all sprung from the same origin. The blood of all is from the same element. Adam and Eve are the parents of all pertaining to the flesh, and I would not say that they are not also the parents of our spirits. Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 290, given in 1859. Quote, man is the offspring of God. Who can fully realize this? Our Heavenly Father orders all things that pertain to this earth and to the multitudes of worlds of which we are ignorant. We are as much the children of this great being as we are the children of our mortal progenitors. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and the same fluid that circulates our bodies, called blood, once circulated in his veins as it does ours. Journal of Discourses, Volume 9, page 283, 1862. When they, the faithful, receive their crowns, their dominions, they then will be prepared to frame earths like ours and to people them in the same manner as we have been brought forth by our parents, by our Father and our God. Journal of Discourses, Volume 18, page 259, 1876. So that was the year before he died. And then the last year of his life, he proclaimed again, Adam was an immortal being when he came to this earth. He had lived on an earth similar to ours. He had received the priesthood and the keys thereof, and had been faithful in all things, and gained resurrection and his exaltation, and was crowned with glory, immortality, and eternal lives, and was numbered with the God or the Elohim, the gods or the Elohim. For such he was through his faithfulness, and he had begotten all the spirits that were to come to this earth. L. John Nuttall Journal, that was the secretary of Brigham Young and John Taylor. Volume 1, page 18, February 7th, 1877. Eclipse of Doctrine. Many of the saints, however, apparently had trouble accepting this definition and explanation of God. Even in 1857, 5 years after the first announcement of the doctrine, President Brigham Young commented, on page 168 for those of you following along, some have grumbled because I believe our God to be so near as to us as Father Adam. There are many who know that doctrine to be true. Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, page 331. And in 1873, 21 years after the announcement, President Young again referred to the unbelief of the Mormon people. Quote, how much unbelief exists in the minds of the Latter-day Saints in regard to one particular doctrine which I revealed to them and which God revealed to me, namely that Adam is our Father and our God. Deseret News, June 18th, 1873. My daughter is about to join us. Are you going to sit on my lap? Your hair isn't combed. Okay. All right. I'm going to finish this real quick, okay? some of the leading brethren began to object to such teachings, and in 1895, the first public announcement was made by Wilford Woodruff to discourage the discussion of this issue. Before I sit down, I want to say a word to the elders of Israel on another subject. I am called an old man, I guess I am. I was thinking just now, in speaking of the apostles and prophets that were with Joseph Smith when he made his last speech, I am the only man living that was with him at that time. The rest today are in the spirit world. How much longer I shall talk to this people, I do not know. But I want to say this to all Israel. Cease troubling yourselves about who God is, who Adam is, who Christ is, who Jehovah is. For heaven's sake, let these things alone. Why trouble yourselves about these things? God has revealed himself, and when the 122nd edition of the Doctrine and our section of the Doctrine and Covenants is fulfilled, whether there be one God or many gods, they will be revealed to the children of men. What are you looking at? The camera's right there. Right there. Okay. You need to go get your shoes on and get your hair combed, okay? Love you. I'll be out in a minute. Okay. They will be revealed to the children of men, as well as all thrones and dominions, principalities and powers. Then why trouble yourselves about these things? God is God, Christ is Christ, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. That drives me nuts. That should be enough for you and me to know. If we want to know any more, wait till we get where God is in person. I say this because we are troubled every little while with inquiries from elders anxious to know who God is, who Christ is, and who Adam is. I say to the elders of Israel, stop this. If Wilford Woodruff was a true prophet, he would teach how to receive revelation for yourself on these subjects. He's a fallen prophet, if he was one at all. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. The Son of God is the same. He is the Savior of the world. He is our advocate with the Father. And we have had letter after letter from elders abroad wanting to know concerning this thing. Adam is the first man. He was placed in the Garden of Eden, and he is our great progenitor. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That should be sufficient for us to know. Millennial Star, page 57, volume 57, page 355 through 356. Opposition to this doctrine became stronger through the years. This is part of the apostasy of the church. They say, we can never lead the church astray as leaders, but Brigham Young taught seven deadly heresies. He was president of the church longer than everybody else, but he was wrong and we're right. That's apostasy. I'm sorry it is. Concerning the doctrine in regard to Adam and the Savior, the prophet Brigham Young taught some things concerning that, but the first presidency and the 12 do not think it wise to advocate these matters. See, they wanted to get away from it because they don't like the doctrine, because they want to be like the world. So they give up their birthright to join in with the Christians, the apostate Christians. It is sufficient to know we have God, the Eternal Father, who reveals himself by his Holy Spirit unto those who seek him, and that Jesus Christ is his Son, our Redeemer, the Savior of the world. First Presidency School Convention, 1898, page 88. See, God the Eternal Father is not Michael, and it is not Jehovah our Elohim. God the Eternal Father is above all, and there are none that stand beside him. All of the Elohim are co-heirs with him, but he is over all. And that is not our present Father, who is Michael. And it is not Jehovah or Yehovah our Elohim. And if they knew that or they understood that, they wouldn't have written what they wrote. But when apostasy comes, when you, according to the Book of Mormon, when you reject information that the Spirit has given you, God takes the knowledge away from you, right? And then you become, because, well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, all they who reject the truth receive strong delusion that they might be damned because they had no love of the truth. That principle applies to all of us. If we reject the truth that the Holy Ghost has revealed to us, we receive the curse of strong delusion that we might be damned because we did not love the truth. And that's when apostasy happens. That's when God begins to take things away from you, and that's what has happened in the LDS Church. There has been much discussion in mutual improvement associations, in theological classes of the Sunday schools over the exact status of the first man, Adam, in the doctrines of our church. Some remarks concerning him by President Brigham Young in a discourse delivered in this city many years ago have been commented upon, added to, and some misinterpreted in the matter that has led us to considerable confusion and misunderstanding. That was Charles W. Penrose, who was an apostate apostle, Improvement Era, Volume 5, page 873, or on page 170. In 1910, whether the mortal bodies of men evolve in natural processes to present perfection, through the direction or power of God, whether the first parents of our generation, Adam and Eve, were transplanted from another sphere with immortal tabernacles which became corrupted through sin and partaking of natural foods in the process of time, whether they are born here in mortality as other mortals have been, are questions not fully answered in the revealed Word of God. Joseph F. Smith, Improvement Era, Volume 13, page 570. If he knew the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, he wouldn't have said that. Joseph Smith restored truth that had been lost through the ages as something that needed to happen for Zion to be redeemed. 1912. Speculation as to the career of Adam before he came to the earth are of no real value. So they're saying it's not important to know who your father is. That's not important. Don't worry about that. This is the seeds of apostasy creeping into the church. We learn by revelation that he was Michael, the archangel, and that he stands at the head of his posterity on earth. Dogmatic assertions do not take the place of revelation, and we should be satisfied with that which is accepted as doctrine and not dismiss matters that, after all, disputes are merely matters of theory. Joseph F. Smith, Anthony H. Lund, and Charles W. Penrose, Improvement Era, Volume 15, page 417. 1916. Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, was literally and truly the Son of the Father, the eternal God, not of Adam, which contradicts what Joseph Smith taught, which contradicts Brigham Young. Charles W. Penrose, The Apostate Apostle Conference Report, April 1916, page 23. 1931, if what is meant is that Adam had passed on to celestial glory through a resurrection before he came here, and then afterward he was appointed to this earth to die again, the second time becoming mortal, then it is not scriptural and according to the truth. Heber J. Grant, the false prophet Heber J. Grant and David O. McKay, February 26, 1831. See, Satan got his claws into knowledge. he convinced the leaders of the church to teach you that Jehovah is Jesus Christ, even though it contradicts Scripture and it contradicts what Joseph Smith taught. He doesn't want you to know who the Father is. He wants to destroy all of that knowledge. All of it. They continually change until you don't know who is who, whether up is down or down is up, left is right, whatever. Adam didn't die, by the way. When he partook of the fruit, there was a death, but it was a different kind of death. It was from celestial to telestial. Well, actually, it was terrestrial, but at the end of his life, he was taken. He did not die. He was taken by Jehovah up to a place to await the time when Yeshua would break the bands of death and reestablish him as a celestial resurrected being. When Yeshua Jesus said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father," it was to Michael that he ascended to, who was with the city of Enoch in the church of the firstborn. And when he presented himself, Yeshua presented himself before his father, Michael, Adam, as the first fruits of all of they who had come after. Yeshua helped his father regain his celestial body. In all probability, the sermon by Brigham Young in Journal of Discourses 150 was erroneously transcribed. Joseph Fielding Smith, Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 96, April 15th, 1939. Because they got to get away from this crazy doctrine that Brigham Young talked about. Because they're apostates. Babylonian businessmen have hijacked your church. Page 171, 1943. Those who peddle the well-worn Adam God myth usually charge the Latter-day Saints with believing that our Father in heaven, the supreme God to whom we pray, is Adam, the first man. Adam was the father of Jesus Christ. A long series of absurd and false deductions are made from these propositions. John A. Witzel, Evidence and Reconciliation, page 287. If Brigham Young was still alive, every single one of these men would be excommunicated from the church. Every single one of them. And they all say that the prophet of the church cannot lead you astray. And then they go and they say, Brigham Young was a heretic and he taught horrible things. And they try to disparage and they try to make excuses up, and they try to cut it out one way or the other, but they are the damned liars and apostates who have hijacked the church and changed the ordinances and the covenants and the gospel and who God is and who Jesus is and who Jehovah, they've changed. The foundation that Joseph Smith laid is not the foundation that they stand upon. They've hijacked the good ship Zion and they have taken it in unfamiliar waters. Lashing out at persons who expelled the belief that Adam is the God of this world, Elder Hunter said that such doctrine is false and impossible and must be destroyed. The idea that Adam is the God of this world or that he was transplanted here or another planet is false and misleading. He declared, Milton R. Hunter, Provo Daily Herald, March 22nd, 1849, page 9. So all of these apostates, see, that's why I say, how can I be apostate when the church leaders themselves have apostatized from the truth? My aunt asked asked what the Adam God doctrine was when she lived in Logan back in the late 70s. No, it was in the 80s. And they didn't tell her what it was, but the stake president threatened her with excommunication just for asking the question. They do not want you to know the truth. They do not want you to tell the truth. I myself was excommunicated because I believe the Adam God doctrine to be true. Joseph Smith would roll over in his grave if he knew the dictatorship and the tyranny and the priestcraft and that has happened in his church, how cultish it has become. 1958. Cultists, see, that's what they call fundamentalists cultists. People who maintain the foundation, the fundamental foundations of the Restoration, and the gospel is taught to them by the foundational leaders. That's why we're called fundamentalists. The LDS Church would call us cultists because we will not give up the truth. We will live the truth and maintain those principles even if we stand alone in it, even if we die, even if we are imprisoned. And we are not going to let them hijack the Restoration, which they have done. But we're not going to stand around and just lay over and play dead. 1958, the cultists and other enemies of the restored truth for their own nefarious purposes sometimes try to make it appear that Latter-day Saints worship Adam as their father in heaven. In supporting their false assumptions, they quote such statements as that of President Brigham Young to affect that Adam is our father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. There is no mystery about this doctrine except that which persons ignorant of the great principles of exaltation and unfriendly to the cause of righteousness have attempted to make. Bruce R. McConkie, Mormon Doctrine, pages 17 through 18. Criticisms of the Adam God doctrine reach its grand finale into the too thundering and dramatic pen of Bruce R. McConkie, who wrote, "There are those who believe or say they believe that Adam is our father and our God, and that he is the father of our spirits and our bodies, and that he is the one we worship." Well, we worship God the Eternal Father, but that's different. "The devil keeps this heresy alive as a means of obtaining converts to cultism or fundamentalism. It is contrary to the whole plan of salvation set forth in the scriptures. Seven deadly heresies, heresy number six, speech given at BYU, 14 stake fireside, June 1st, 1980. Further condemnation of this doctrine came with a statement from Spencer W. Kimball in 1976. "We warn you against the dissemination of doctrines which are not according to the scriptures, and we are alleged to have been taught by some of the general authorities of past generations. Such, for instance, is Adam God theory. We denounce that theory and hope that everyone will be cautioned against this and other kinds of false doctrines." Ensign, November 1976, page 77. This public statement by a president of the church denouncing and refuting the teachings of another president of the church has left some in as much confusion as there ever was before. To summarize, the prophet Joseph Smith said that very few understand rightly the true character of God. Scientists and philosophers have fallen short in their ideas of explaining the creation of man on this planet. Number three, mankind are the offspring of God. All things are reproduced through no other means than procreation and generation. Number four, all the plants and animals came to this earth from another world. Number five, Michael, Adam, Michael, the great prince and archangel, came here with a resurrected celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. By eating of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, their bodies were transformed, allowing them to have mortal children. Number six, this doctrine, as taught by Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, was gradually rejected by subsequent church members and leaders, and today is considered merely a false doctrine. So I got to get going. I can't take any phone calls today. I'm sorry about this, but I got to get going because I got to take my kids to school, and I got like 13 minutes to get there. And I'm pretty sure they don't have their shoes on because that's usually what happens. They don't believe in shoes. Anyway, but I'm going to leave it at that. And anybody can ask me questions in the comments on Facebook or on YouTube when I post this. And I'm going to get out of here. So thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless and goodbye.